This is a sign. It's Passover. Jesus is in the wilderness, in the desert, very close to the feast. So much of John's gospel is structured according to the feast of the Jews. So here is the second Passover. There's another one earlier, if you remember. And a large crowd comes, and Jesus is in the desert, and he feeds them. So what is he doing? He's declaring, I am the new Moses. And nobody could miss it. I'm in the desert, it's Passover, and I feed you. Now, what he did in feeding them was to prophesy how he was going to take care of his church until the end of time. I will feed them on my body and blood. So he declares that here. He prophesies it in a rather hidden way. So it's Passover. This is the feast of liberation. This is the feast. We have our own little Seder meal after Holy Thursday, and we enact all these things. The child says, why do we do this and we never do this on every other night? Why do we do this? We don't, you know, Passover is in the bones of the Jewish people, the way hopefully the Eucharist is in ours. And so he sees the crowd. He asks Philip, John says he asked him to test him. Augustine says, he asked Philip, not that he might know Philip, but that Philip might know himself. And then we have the story of the, and John is careful to tell us they're barley loaves. What can I say? You know, you have a melodic line, and then that can be, even the line is alluding to other music. You can have a harmony. John wants a harmony. You can look in the Book of Kings and see where Elisha multiplied barley loaves. Here's Jesus, the prophet. It's a small thing. It's an allusion to create a deeper background for this sign. Jesus said, have the people recline. Now, there was a great deal of grass in that place. He has me lie down, you know, in good pastures. He took the loaves, and we always have this with them. He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. You'll hear it when I come to the consecration. He took, he blessed, he broke, he gave. And the Gospels writers are careful. They say it here, all the Gospels, and they say it at the Eucharist, where all of this is fulfilled. And so, when they had their fill, he said, gather the fragments left over. I want you to keep remembering that. I'm not going to tell you all that it means today. I'm going to let you think about it. Gather the fragments. What does that mean? Why does he say that? You see? Well, he doesn't want the bread wasted. Sure. They collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets from the 5 barley loaves. How many patriarchs are there? How many apostles are there? Well, remember that. See, this is not a game. This is theology. This is trying to help you penetrate the mystery that we have here. And when the people saw the sign he had done, they got it. This is the prophet who is coming to the world. This is the new Moses. You see, it says in Deuteronomy 18, Moses is speaking, and he says, he's warning them about false prophets. And he said, the Lord will raise up a prophet like me. Listen to him. Now, he could have meant, he'll raise up prophets like me, and when they come, listen to them. But it was always understood in the Jewish tradition, there will be a prophet like Moses. And when he comes, listen to him. Well, obviously, this is the prophet. He's in the desert. He's fed the people miraculously. This is the prophet. Now, the people, Moses got the people out of slavery. This new prophet will drive out the Romans and give us the land to be our own again, which it has never been. Still, to this day, Israel's grasp on that land is very tenuous. It depends on the U.S. But anyway, we'll have our land again. And we can live our religion without interference from these foreign occupiers. You see? Jesus knew they were going to do that. They were going to take him. Here's our king. So he said to the disciples, get in the boat and get out of here. And he went up to the top of the mountain to pray, to diffuse the wrong kind of enthusiasm. This is the beginning, huh? And we're going to have now, you know that in most of the Gospels, right after this, there's the account of the walking on the water, which will probably be tomorrow. And then the crowd comes to him in Capernaum, probably in the synagogue at Capernaum, and he gives a long discourse on the meaning of what he had just done. And that, you see, is where you're going to hear, it's my flesh, it's my blood I give you. Now, it means, see, I give you my very substance. It couldn't happen in the way he's foretelling until he died and rose. But I give you myself. And remember, you see, the 12 wicker baskets. This isn't a game, you know, like guessing. The realities mediated to us are so profound, so deep, that they have to be mediated symbolically. You can try to spell them out. That's what a preacher tries to do. But whatever is said by way of explanation is so much less than the realities. You want to have those realities part of your spirit. You have to ponder this text until the Holy Spirit himself takes the realities that are mediated by the text and impresses them on your own spirit. That's the beginning of understanding. Before that, it's just about reading, which is a good thing. But understanding is a work of the Spirit. And it doesn't come easily. It's not supposed to. You got to read and pray, get down on your knees. You got to fast. What's behind this text is divine life. Jesus giving you life, fulfilling all that happened to his people, for you, for the whole church. So, you have to pray. And we'll have now for several days, first the walking on the water, and then this discourse. So pray. Pray that this, remember what we're being led to understand, right? The life of the church in the power and the blood and body of Jesus Christ. And this is to get us to understand how all of that will be deepened in the church for those whose hearts are opened on the Feast of Pentecost. It's a day when the Lord will deepen the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church, all whose hearts are open. It's such a privilege that we can get to Mass every day and receive this education into the meaning of our life.